Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Ireland's classic
hits. Almost a third of preteen boys are playing over 18s online games and console games. And they're more likely to be exposed to violent imagery and harmful content, according to new research. The figures are contained in the annual report on the safety of internet by CyberSafe Kids, who I'll be speaking to later on. And according to the data, 95% of children aged between 8 and 12 own their own smart device or console, while 87% have their own social media or instant messaging account, despite minimum age restrictions of 13 years of age on most of the most popular apps. Over a third of children reported that they can go online whenever they want, and 15% reported having no rules in place at home whatsoever for going online. That's shocking, isn't it? Over a quarter of children surveyed said they hadn't even been bothered by content that they had encountered online, and 29% of them kept it to themselves rather than reporting it to their parents or somebody else. That's concerning content, obviously. 64% of children said they had been contacted by a stranger in an online game. 62% of children had been contacted by a stranger. CyberSafe Kids is urging greater vigilance over what children are seeing, playing and doing online. And this year's data shows, they said, that our young children are being exposed to vast amounts of inappropriate content that can be violent, disturbing and sometimes of a sexual nature. That's according to the chief executive, Alex Cooney. Makers of video games and owners of the big social media platforms need to be doing much more with vast profits they're making to monitor harmful content on their service, especially when it relates to a child. They go on to say, we urge the government to put in place legislation that would be meaningful and hold the online service providers to account when these things go wrong for a child online. And we are calling on it to invest more resources to support parents and educators. Now, we are talking about children playing games that are online, and parents will come up with a million excuses. And maybe they're valid excuses. Parents will always use excuses like, oh, well, look, their friends have Call of Duty. I know he's only 11, but all his friends are playing it. I don't want to have him left out, or Grand Theft Auto, or whatever the latest cyberpunk, or whatever the latest violent video game is. And they are violent. I know, I play them all the time. I love them, but I'm an adult. I understand real life and fantasy. And sometimes there's a grey area between the two when it comes to a child. So, and I understand you don't want to isolate your children from their peers. Seems reasonably fair, doesn't it? That as a parent, you know, little Johnny, primarily, although Mary could be doing it too, it seems more boys play these games than girls, although they're becoming more popular with girls now too. More boys play them, but parents say, oh, well, look, you know, his friends are all playing. Sure, if I don't buy it, he's going to see it in his friend's house anyway. And I understand that. I get that. But do you see any harm in it? Some people see no harm. They say, oh, look, it's only a game. They know it's a game. Look, they're shooting characters. They're just shooting cartoon characters. It's not real. They know that. But so do you see any harm with children playing games that are specifically over 18s? And a lot of the games, the more popular ones that you will see on the shelves that the kids are playing, are over 18s games. Of course, they're not buying them. The parents are buying them for them. So do you see any harm in it? Some people don't believe it's too much harm at all. Let me know what you think. The number is 087-188-0008. That's 087-188-0008. Do you see any harm with your children playing over 18s video games? Let me go to Lorna. Lorna, you're an Ireland's Classic Kids. How are you doing, Lorna?
Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you. Lorna, do you see any harm in it?
Yeah, I do. If you're talking specifically about online gaming for over 18s, yeah. Yeah, I was talking to one of the lads who rang me for the show, and I was saying that my husband plays these games all the time. He has as long as I've known him, you know, and there's one in particular. It's not online, but it's Mortal Kombat. And like that, our little fella seeing it, he's 8 years old. Dad, can I play that? Can I play that? And he was like, you can play the actual game, and like that, Anthony sat there with him, but you go into the controls and you can turn off the graphics, you can turn off the blood, you can turn off the swearing, you can turn off fatalities so nobody can get decapitated, you know, things like that. It's, you're playing the game as such, but not.
So it's more like the old form. It's more like the old Street Fighter game that you would have played.
Exactly. Yeah. That type of thing. So he would be delighted at both. I mean, the likes of a Call of Duty, GTA, or Mortal Kombat, and it's just, there's not a hope in hell. I mean, my oldest is well over 20, and she's nearly 14 now. I wouldn't have her near them games. Mm-hmm. They're extremely graphic. I mean, you were saying you've played these games, so you know that.
I know what they're like.
The drugs, the prostitution, the torture.
Oh shit! One of the missions in Grand Theft Auto was to go and pick up a hooker and kill her.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah, there you go. That's it. It's they're extremely graphic. You know, but as an adult, you can tell the difference between obviously reality and so on. But even Call of Duty, which okay, the drugs and the prostitutes are taking it. They're still extremely violent games.
I suppose the whole reasoning behind the game is that you to kill as many people as possible.
Well, that's it. That's the and if you're putting that out there to a child, the objective is to, you know, to take life. The more people, the more kills you get, the higher up you are, or you get the final kill or the final shot. And even in the likes of Fortnite. That's who got the final kill, you know, although it's the cartoons and it's much less, you know, graphic.
Yeah.
But it's who got the final kill, you know, that's, you know, your final shot. And even to the likes of, I've seen Anthony play Call of Duty. And when you get the final, if you get the final kill, it shows you, it gives you a replay of your crowning moment, you know, kind of look at you, you're amazing, look what you did. You know, but I watched them play that particular Call of Duty. I watched them play that online with the big gamers, you know, and it was just endless knives and necks and people's throats getting cut.
Yeah, I mean, I had a nephew, and there for Christmas one year of Santa Claus, he got Sniper. Now, I've played Sniper, and it literally follows the bullet. And the idea is that you get a headshot or into the heart or whatever it is. And like, it's for a child, that could, I believe that could be quite disturbing.
Yeah, I would very much agree with you there as well. But I mean, like you said in the intro, you can't stop them. If somebody else's parent doesn't have the same opinion as you and they play it, and can I go and sit in Johnny's house for, you know, while it's raining? Yeah, okay, you can't stop what they're seeing in that regard, you know.
I mean, what do you say to parents when they say, well, look, and I understand why they say this. Sure, if I don't get it for him, all his mates have it. And they're all playing online together. And if I don't get it for him, he's going to feel left out and isolated. And then he'd be bullied, saying, oh, your parents don't let you play it. You know, I understand that logic too.
Yeah, I do. I do understand that now. Like, the likes of, you know, the actual game, you go and you buy the disc, you can mess around with the controls and that to make them slightly less, you know, in your face, if you like.
Yeah, yeah. Turn off the blood.
But the online game, and I think it's one of those things where if you really feel strong about it, I mean, if you're talking like an 8, 9, 10, 12-year-old, then you stand your ground. That would be me. No, okay, all your friends are playing it. Well, they can have nightmares and you won't. You know, but I completely understand 15, 16, you know, that age group.
But the other thing is, if they're playing online, which they do, and young kids, I'm talking about 10, 11-year-olds playing online with their little microphones and headphones, and you can tell them all you like, okay, you're not allowed to use your microphone, I don't want you talking to strangers, right? That's grand. But they're listening to other strangers. And the strangers they're listening to are not 11 years of age. They could be 18 or 19, 20-year-old lads having the crack, talking about women, shouting and roaring and all sorts of sexist, horrible comments maybe. And your child is subjected to that. Do you know what I mean? That can be the case too. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Again, I've said, you know, I'm not a big gamer. I've played GTA with my husband, but that's about it.
Yeah. It is. Don't get me wrong. GTA is a great game if you're an adult and you know the difference.
If you're an adult, it's a great game. I've watched him play online, various different games online. And I mean, he might be playing with his brother. You know, one's in one house, he's in our house. And then somebody, you know, maybe Canadian, joins the game. And I was there one night, and sure enough, it was a child who joined the game. And geez, the language and insults out of him, and what he wasn't calling them, and like he was only there purely to get a rise out of somebody.
Yeah.
And I was like, his parents have no idea what he's doing, because I find it hard to believe they're listening in the background.
No, I doubt it very much.
And this coming out, you know. No, I wouldn't agree with it.
Okay, but stay there just for a second. Let me go to Patrick. Patrick, you're in Ireland's Classic Hits. How are you doing, Patrick?
How you doing, Niall?
I was going to say, do you think there should be tighter controls over how we sell these games? But it's impossible to control it because parents are just going to buy them for their kids anyway. So there's no, you can't really control it any better than it's controlled.
Yeah, no, I'll start off. I used to work in Extravision years ago, right? And kids would be coming in and looking to buy these over 18 games. Mm-hmm. And I refused to sell them to them, like, you know, but they'd go back out and then Mammy and Daddy would come in and
rent it, yeah.
Pay the money out then for
And let's be clear about it, Extravision, gosh, that must be a long time ago now.
It is, yeah. Like, you know, there were still over 18 games. So,
yeah,
like,
that's, you know, but that's what I'm saying. But the games nowadays are so much more realistic.
Big difference.
So you're a bit of a gamer yourself.
I'm not at all. Like, you know, I used to be useless.
Oh, you're 17-year-old, yes. I do apologise. You're 17-year-old.
Yeah. I couldn't even play Space Invaders, like, you know, back in the day.
It was a great game, Space Invaders. Okay, but your 17-year-old is a gamer.
Yeah, he is.
And would he play it much? Would he be playing all day?
No. He's a certain amount of time every day allowed on it, and
right.
That's it.
And like, what age was he when he kind of started getting into it?
He was 13.
Okay, but that's probably 13. About average. Yeah, most kids get into gaming. Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with gaming. It's a bit of fun. But yep. And it's a bit of a release as well sometimes for frustration.
Yeah, it was all kind of Minecraft and that kind of stuff then.
That can be okay too, yeah.
Yeah.
Because, of course, that teaches them, you know, the hand-eye coordination, all that kind of stuff. But in saying that, I mean, did he ever want to play the Call of Duty, the Grand Theft Autos, those kind of games when he was younger?
His friends all had the GTA, the Grand Theft Auto, but no. He wasn't allowed to get it. Like, you know,
and I'm assuming he asked.
Yeah, he did, of course, like, you know, because all his friends ran it, like, you know. Now, the few of the other ones, the Battlefields and that, like, you know, there were 15.
Okay.
I think, if I remember properly.
They could
now,
be,
like,
yeah.
You know, so, and when he was 14, yeah. We'll let him get that, like, and all, but regards GTA, no.
But see, what I can't understand is that parents will justify it, and I understand. I'm not having a go at parents today, because sometimes there's a lot of peer pressure on people, you know. But they'll justify it, and they'll get GTA, which is clearly an over-18s game, for a child who's 12 years of age. And I'm going, would you bring your child to the cinema to see a Quentin Tarantino movie? Of course. And they go, of course I wouldn't. And I'm going, well, you may as well be, because that's exactly what you're doing.
And said the biggest film I ever know brought him to the oldest film was Saving Private Ryan, because he was big World War II history fan at the time, like, you know, and we just after actually come back from Normandy, like, you know, so
right.
So we brought him seeing that, like, you know, but with regards to GTA and all those other ones, not
right,
a chance.
Okay. So what do you say to parents who say that the reason they do it is because all the other kids have it and they don't want to have their kid being left out of the group, so to speak?
Well, I'm going to exactly say what I said to my young lad is tough titty, you're not getting it, like, an offer.
I don't care what the other kids jumped on the fire, would you jump into? Yeah. I suppose, isn't that the argument?
So. Yeah.
Lorna, did you find pressure on you?
No, but again, my oldest is only barely, you know, she's not even 14 yet, you know. She wouldn't be a massive gamer. I mean, fast forward kind of another 8 years and my son is 16, because he's very much, he's following in his daddy's footsteps in this regard.
Okay,
he loves the Xbox. He's, you know, and when all his friends have it, if they are taking the mick out of them, and so, you know, online gaming is an awful place to be now, you know.
It's going to get worse, because obviously VR is going to be the big thing in the future. Yeah.
It's getting aimed at kids that are younger. My girls play a game called Roblox, and they could be, you know, talking to anybody on it, you know, and
There was an article in the paper a while ago about Roblox, because parents have this view that Roblox is a perfectly safe place for children.
Certainly not.
But there's adults on it.
For children, that's it. If ever someone was looking for children online, that's where you would go. One of my girls came to me last night, "Mom, somebody just asked me to tell me their biggest secret." And I said, right, off you go. Let's go.
That's right. There's a chat screen on the side of it or something
absolutely.
Like that. Yeah.
And there's
basically pedos or whatever it is, adults going on to it.
Could be anybody, literally anybody. But like in terms of the over 18 games online, you know, when my son is older, I'd say, you know, well, can you play the actual game, the story mode as it is? You know, can you play that and, you know, hopefully the parental controls? Because I do think there's going to be more pressure put on these gaming companies to have better features, that if kids, you know, do want to play it, then there has to be a kid version of it, you know?
Yeah.
So hopefully by that stage, the likes of the parental controls will be more, more.
I'm thinking of an under-13s version of GTA where the person will walk up to whoever owns the car and say, excuse me, can I have your car, please?
Can I have a lift?
Instead of pulling them out and beating them up at the side of the road.
Stay
there for a second. Let me go to Joanna. Joanna, you're an Ireland's classic hit. Say to Joanna. Oh, sorry, Joanna, go ahead.
No, I think over-18 games shouldn't be exposed to kids under-18. They're over-18s for a reason.
But see, everybody's saying this, right? But the thing about it is, the most popular age for playing these games is kids of 13 and 14 years of age. So where are all the parents that are buying them for their kids?
They're obviously not very responsible parents, to be honest, to expose their kids to this. I personally wouldn't expose my 12-year-old son to it. He has asked for games of that age, and I said no. And he accepted my decision.
And has he pushed you? Has he pushed you a little bit and said, oh, well, Johnny around the corner, two mates in school have it. Why can't I get it? Has he said that to you?
Well, no, to be fair to him, he has a mind of his own and he doesn't go with the flow.
He's a leader, not a follower. Yeah.
Yeah. No, like he's not pressuring me or his dad into buying these games. And I'm happy about that.
And what would you say to parents? Because I'm sure you're aware of parents who do buy them for their kids.
That's their personal choice, but I'm doing what's best for my son.
Mm.
There's enough violence in the world without him being exposed to it in virtual reality games as well.
Well, that's the next step, isn't it? Of course, what they're really pushing on kids now is going to be VR, what they call VR, which is going to be the big thing for Christmas this year and probably next year and the next few years, is VR headsets where they immerse themselves completely in the reality of these games.
Exactly. Like at the moment, he has no interest of adding any of his school friends to his PlayStation account, and I'm happy enough with that. There's too much bullying on social media and things like that.
And does he play online on his PlayStation?
No, he doesn't, to be fair. He has the Spider-Man game that came out with the PlayStation.
Oh, yeah, that's a great game. Yeah, Miles Morales. And, yeah, another one.
Yeah, and he has that, and he has a Batman game, and all he asks me for it is the download content, and
I'm
happy enough to do that for him.
And those games are kind of innocent enough. They're safe enough, yeah. They're very innocent.
They are, yeah.
You know, there's no violence, there's no blood, there's no breaking of bones or stabbing or shooting, killing.
No, it's something that I myself, growing up as a child, was exposed to.
Yeah. Probably harmless enough.
Just the graphics are a lot more better these days.
They certainly are. You think you were actually in Gotham City if you were playing the Batman game. Let me go to Kat as well. Kat, you're on Ireland's Classic Hits. How are you doing, Kat?
Hi, Niall. How are you? I'm good.
Good.
I'm good.
I mean, this has become a huge problem. When I read this research today about the amount of children that are being exposed to adult content online, it is quite shocking.
Oh, it's scary. And it's actually quite ironic. It's my big pet hate, and I was just talking to my husband at the weekend, and I said, I'm going to write into Niall and see would he bring up this topic, because I was dying to see what other people would say about it. Like, I have two children. I have a 6-year-old and I have an 8-year-old, and I'm keeping them away from games as much as I possibly can. They're on holidays. There's a little character called Huggy Wuggy, and he's like a cute little blue teddy bear, and I got him 2 teddy bears. Now, that's all they've had is the 2 teddy bears. And this guy, little 6-year-old, came up to him, and he was obsessed with it. And he was like, when they're on holidays, and he was like, oh, I love the Huggy Wuggy, I love the Huggy Wuggy. And I said, he's cute, isn't he? Yeah, he said, he'll hug you till you die.
Oh, God.
And I was like, this is a 6-year-old. And then I was kind of going, okay, I'm going to... So I Googled it I Googled him, and there was loads of warnings about it. It was saying that it was for 8-year-olds, and then people were saying it's too advanced for 8-year-olds, that it was put out to 12-year-olds, a rating of 12-year-olds. So I watched one of the videos on YouTube, and it was about him being sucked into a grinder. Now, I was in work yesterday and I showed one or two of the girls this and they were like, oh my God, an adult saw it and they said, oh my God, that's absolutely wrong.
Sounds vile, yeah.
It's vile. Now, if you look at it, I'll send it on when I'm finished, but it is terrible. Like, and six-year-olds are obsessed with this. Apparently, the parents like of this child they met were saying that they were in school and that the school teacher, they were going around in a circle and they were saying, we'll hug you till we die and all this, you know.
Oh my God. Yeah. And this comes back to this trend that was going around a while ago where they hug each other around the neck, so to speak, to stop people breathing. Now, that's what happened to this little fella in the UK who's in a coma, who died there recently.
Archie Battersby.
Yeah.
And another child, I read it last week as well, another poor boy was doing that online channel, TikTok channels, and the same thing happened to him.
Mm-hmm.
Awful. It really stresses me out, the thoughts of if my kids were on it. Like, so that's what I'm really
so
trying.
Difficult. It's in the world we live today, it's so difficult to keep them safe.
Yeah.
From that to keep them exposed to that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I'm trying to get them into as much sport as possible. I'll have them playing hurling, swimming, football, everything.
To keep his mind occupied.
Like, I've even built a hut now and we put a kind of a little shed for him and his friends out the back. And like, there's colourings and there's Lego and there's a pool table. There's not one electric, nothing. It's just all...
So do they have any devices at all?
No, nothing, no. They got...
And how old did you say he was again?
8 and 6.
Okay. Okay, that's good so far.
They got a little...
I don't know how long you'll be able to resist that, Cap, but go
I
on.
Know. I'm doing my best. Now.
You're doing that's wonderful. It's great that you're not.
They got a little small device now from my sister now. You know, she was very nice sending it. But I even noticed when my son Jack was playing on it, like, he's playing on it on his own. Now, it's a small little thing. It's just harmless. You know, like a little King Kong or something like that. But his friends are just watching him. And I was saying, Jeff, look, I said, look, you should play with your friends. It's not fair, like, the guys are just watching you. And he was like, oh, and I used to time him. And I used to say, look, you have 20 minutes on it, that's fine. So now it's conveniently, we lost it conveniently.
Oh, right.
You know? So, yeah.
It's gone somewhere.
It's gone somewhere, yeah. I think I might know where it is, but Jeff has lost it, like, you know.
Yeah.
So I just kind of go, when he's...
But you know, it'd be great, and I understand what you're trying to do, and it'd be great if you can keep that innocence. But unfortunately, what's going to happen is when they get to about 11 years of age or 12 years of age, they're going to secondary school particularly, they're going to be with other kids who are going to be playing Call of Duty, who are going to be playing all these other games, and they will want to be part of the group, that peer group. They'll want to be part of the gang or the WhatsApp groups or whatever it is around, which I think is so harmful to children, by the way.
Yeah.
I would have nothing to do with social media. If it wasn't for the fact I worked in media, and I have to because it's part of what we do, I would have nothing to do with social media.
It's
I despise it.
Yeah.
It's so dangerous for children.
Yeah.
It really is so dangerous.
Yeah,
and that the social media has taken over in some sense from the gaming, but it's all part of the same thing because they connect through social media for it anyway.
Yeah, and the TikToks and the other one. There's another one as well. I can't think of the Snapchat.
Yeah.
And all that and bullying and all that. Like I people taking videos of kids and putting it up on social media. I dread the day when my kids, like, I'm just hoping I'm just going to do my best and that's all I can do, like, and just try and keep them not exposed to it.
So, Lorna, are you still there, Lorna?
Yeah, I am.
You've been listening to Kat. By the way, your son is 8 years of age, but is he on any social media?
No, Jesus, no.
No, well, okay, I'm only asking.
No.
Does he?
No. I mean, like, Miguel.
Does he look
my
at
oldest,
YouTube
my
or
have,
TikTok?
YouTube, yes. He looks at YouTube. My teenager, she has TikTok and she has WhatsApp. That's it. She's not allowed anything else.
And how old is she? How old is she?
She's almost 14.
Okay.
Yeah. But no, she doesn't have the Instagrams and she doesn't have the Snapchats. And
does it worry you? Does that sort of stuff worry you as a parent?
Oh, God, yeah, it does. It really does because she keeps getting taught. I think you and I spoke about this before about the Snapchat. Like, the pressure on her from her friends to get Snapchat is actually ridiculous, you know.
Kids being part of a WhatsApp group and then unpopular, they get kicked out of the group and it's so upsetting.
It's awful. Well, that Huggy Wuggy, just a very interesting point there.
That's a shocking story with the Huggy Wuggy thing, sorry.
Yeah, my son came home from school. He was in fourth class last year and he kept going on about Huggy Wuggy. And I didn't know what he was talking about. And I said to him, I have to find out what this is about. Where did you see it? Someone in school was talking about it, and I seen it on YouTube. So what it is, the YouTube videos, what it is that somebody is playing this game, and it's very creepy. It is. I mean, it's creepy.
Very creepy, yeah.
Yeah, and but we, sure enough, we were in Italy over the summer, and you know, when these stalls, Huggy Wuggy Teddy was hanging off. Oh, he begged his daddy, please, can I have the Huggy Wuggy Teddy? And I said, it's a teddy. What harm could it possibly do? You know,
quite an ugly looking teddy, by the way. I'm just
it's
looking
ugly
at
looking thing, and yeah, it's you, but whatever. We got him the little teddy. We were in the Phoenix Park about a month ago. And like I said, he brought the teddy with him, and it was sitting on the picnic blanket, and a parent came over to me and asked me to put it. He said, I'm really sorry. He said, is there any way you could hide that if your child's not playing with it? His little fella, who I'd say was about six, was terrified of it. Absolutely terrified of it. Yeah. And of course, now I threw it into the picnic bag, and my son asked me, where's it gone? And I was going to put him away from a bit. I said, there's a little boy over there who's frightened of it. You know, so obviously I don't know the backstory there, but this thing that's been very much aimed at younger children, it's filtering through. And some kids are like Jacob, my son Jacob, he doesn't have a massive understanding. He's watched some YouTuber play it. I didn't like what he was watching, and I put a stop to it. You know, and but then like everyone in school, like, oh, my friends have it, all my friends have it, you know, and they're all talking about it. You know,
I'm looking at, sorry, the video that Kat was talking about there, saying, oh, just somebody's just saying,
grinder one, is it?
Yeah, and then they're putting it, I don't know if there's any audio, I just heard it up there, saying,
yeah, oh, there is audio.
That's the sound of it going into the grinder, yeah. Somebody putting it into a grinder and grinding it up, and you know, and it's horrendous, absolutely horrendous. Yeah, I mean,
you see, I think, sorry, I don't mean to cut across you there, it's just even with the online game, the kids playing over 18 games. Your child then comes home going about, you know, just for imagine a 10-year-old coming from school, I don't like him, I want to put him into a grinder and watch him, you know, such. So where did you hear that? Where did you see that? Where are you getting that language from and that them phrases from?
It's because it's language that we wouldn't have understood at our age, you know what I mean?
And that wouldn't be, you know, most children, well, majority of children get their language and their speech and their mannerisms from their family unit. And,
yeah, of course, yeah.
And everything, you know. And you know, I've often said to people, Jesus, she sounds just like you, you know. And
of course, because we pick up everything from the people we're with, our environment and the people that we're with all the time. Ladies, I'm sorry, I'm running out of time, unfortunately. Kat, listen, thank you very much indeed. Lorna, thanks for staying with us as you did. Keep texting, keep watching, apping. The number's 087-188-008. I'm sorry, I get into fierce trouble here for running late. Anyway, I want to know, do you believe, you know, there's pressure on parents to buy these kind of violent video games, or indeed violent cuddly toys, if that's what you call a Huggy Wuggy, for children. And maybe you've had that experience. All right, there we go to John. John, you're in Ireland's Classic Kids. How you doing, John?
Good night, Niall. How are you?
Good. Now, I mean, in relation to this idea that parents feel pressured into buying their kids the games, I do understand that. I do understand why they feel like that. Now, whether they should do it or not is a different kettle of fish. But do you think that's the problem, that parents feel under pressure?
I'd say so. Like I can understand a child coming to, oh, I want this, I want this. But, like,
all my friends have it, all my friends have it.
Yeah. Like, at the end of the day, games, they all have age ratings similar to films. They all have little icons on the back of the box.
Mm-hmm.
Possible sexual content, drug-related content, things like that.
Yep.
And it's up to the parent to do a bit of research, maybe what they might feel is appropriate or inappropriate. And at the end of the day, you know, just say no.
But it's easy for you. Are you a parent, John, yourself?
I am a parent. It's my kids now. I have a 2-year-old and I have a 1-week-old. So I'm not quite there yet.
Congratulations, John.
Thank you.
It's all ahead of you. I'd say your life is upside down at the moment.
Yeah.
But anyway, I remember that time well. I do remember that time in my life well. But when your kids get older, it's easy for you now to say that, John, in hindsight. But when you're 11-year-old or 12-year-old is looking at you and going, Dad, you know, like Mary down the road has it, John down the road has it, they're all playing online tonight. I'm the only one who hasn't got it. Like, and that's the pressure, isn't it? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I can totally understand the pressure. Like, I'm 34. I've been gaming most of my life. So, I mean, I like to think I'm kind of savvy as to what would be appropriate and inappropriate. So I kind of probably have an advantage that way.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, like one of my favorite films is The Thing by John Carpenter.
Great movie.
There is not a chance on earth I would let an 11 or 12 year old watch that. And I'd apply that same philosophy to games. Like, I love Grand Theft Auto. Grand Theft Auto 3 was one of the first games I got. My poor father didn't know any better.
Of course, yeah.
And he got it for me when I was, I'd say, 14.
Mm-hmm.
But at least I can look at that in hindsight and know that this is inappropriate for a child.
But your father got it for you when you were 14.
Yeah.
And a lot of parents, they don't have the knowledge that you might have. Maybe they haven't played games themselves. They don't have the knowledge, that, particularly mothers, because men play it more than women.
Yeah.
So they don't have the knowledge. And, you know, and Johnny asks for it. Maybe he'll ask Santa Claus to bring it to him or something like that. Or he might want an aunt or uncle to get it for him for his birthday or whatever. And so a parent or an adult is buying it. The shops can only do their best, the likes of the GameStops and everything else. And in fairness to them, they are quite vigilant. They won't sell it to a child.
No, but they won't. I've come out of a GameStop there not too long ago, and some young lad come up to me, asked me, could I go in and get Call of Duty for him? I had like 50 something euro in its end. I just said no.
Yeah,
I know. So, I mean, a lot of the game shops are, they weren't always now, but a lot of them are fairly good that way now.
But most games now are online.
They're all downloaded, yeah.
Yeah, they're all downloaded because the new PlayStation, you have a choice now not to even bother with a DVD drive anymore. So,
yeah.
So in saying that, kids are just downloading them, so it's not a case of having to go in and get them off a shelf anymore.
Yeah.
Once you have mum and dad's credit card or debit card, you can just buy it.
Yeah, it's also a case now, of course, where when the credit card or the debit card is already on your profile, you can bypass mum and dad altogether. You can just, mum and dad are off somewhere, turn on the Xbox, there you go, you can buy whatever.
Yeah, but mind you, I've seen a lot of people, I had a woman on the air last week and said that her son had spent the mortgage for downloads or whatever it was. He was buying
that before, yeah.
Loot boxes he was getting, yeah. All right, listen, John, thank you very much indeed. I appreciate you coming on the air. Okay, there is a bit of pressure, so some people, absolutely, some of your WhatsApp messages coming in as well.
Hi, Niall, just a quick one. I can't come on the radio because I'm at work. But another thing that these video game companies should be looked at for is these FIFA player packs. It's just gambling for kids, basically. And anybody can play FIFA. You know, there's no age restriction on FIFA, but it's the packs that they have to buy. It's a glorified scratch card. That's a big problem with kids as well, that they're getting used to gambling so young.
It's not just FIFA. Many of the games have it now where you spend, say, £10 and you get a character, but you don't know what character you're going to get, whether you're going to get one of the good ones or the bad ones, and the spinning wheel comes or something like that. And what that's doing at a very young age is giving those serotonin levels to the brain and the excitement of gambling, and you're 100% right, and kids will spend a fortune on it.
That's just bad parenting. Parents just hand their kids tablets, even at the age of a year and a half. The child never said, "Oh, ma'am, can I have a tablet, please?" They just give it to them for peace and quiet, so they can just go back about their jolly ways and not have to rear their kids. That's what's happening. It's bad parenting, end of story. You know what I mean? Parents just don't want to rear their kids anymore. And social media will do it for you. That's all it is. And they don't check what they're looking at. They don't do anything. And that's that. I still have locks, pin locks on my... My girls are 21 and 17. I have pin locks on the television for what the content they can and can't see. So, bad parenting, that's all it is. There's just some people, unfortunately, should never have been blessed with having children because they had them for the wrong reasons.
Ooh. On the back of the research from CyberSafe Kids Ireland, it certainly seems that a lot of parents over the last 40 minutes who've been talking to us feel an awful lot of pressure to allow their children to play video games, violent ones at that, and also onto social media, which they shouldn't be on. Well, the people who did that report, of course, were Philip R. Neal, Head of Education at CyberSafe Kids, and he joins me on the line. Good afternoon to you, Philip.
Good afternoon.
Interesting report. Quite shocking, by the way, when you see some of the data in that particular report. But what can we do? And we've been listening to parents for the last 40 minutes talking to us, saying, you know, little Johnny comes to them at 12 years of age and says, "My mates are on WhatsApp, my mates are playing Grand Theft Auto, my mates are playing Call of Duty, why can't I?" You know, and they feel isolated if they don't let them.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's nothing new, to be honest. You know, in my day, it might have been trainers or a football shirt or whatever else, you know. So that's not something particularly new. But certainly, you know, when kids look around, they see other, you know, kids doing things and they want to be part of that. And particularly as they go into secondary school, obviously, there's a lot of peer pressure that increases. So we totally understand that. And I think, you know, the best approach really is a common sense one. You know, you've got to, first of all, think about your own child, because not all children are the same. Not all young people are the same. So it's going to depend on how they react to different things. Similarly, you know, There are a lot of free resources out there for parents to just do a little bit of research. You don't have to be a user yourself. You don't have to know all the lingo, but just to find out, you know, what apps are popular, what you can expect to find on those apps, looking at parental controls when you're using those apps as well, and similarly, you know, for games. And then in terms of actually using the online, you know, using the online world, whether it's social media or gaming, making sure that those restrictions and expectations are in place, particularly within the home. So there's lots of things can be done. You know, you can make sure that they're only used in communal areas. Devices are only charged downstairs. They don't go into bedrooms. You know, maybe discourage the use of headphones so you can always hear what's going on. And I think what underlies all of that, and this is really one of our biggest messages, regardless of what the statistics are, is that parents are talking to their kids. Because, you know,
is it okay for a parent to look through their child's phone at 13 or 14 years of age? Because some parents believe they shouldn't be because it's their privacy and all this kind of thing. But they have genuine concerns and they want to see what they're doing, who they're communicating with. Because one of the startling facts in this, 64% of children said they'd been contacted by a stranger in an online game. That's startling, you know, that you hear things like that, because that's not something we couldn't associate it with at my age when I was a kid, because we didn't have this online world. So is it okay to look to their phones?
Well, if you saw your child standing out in at the end of the street talking to someone you didn't know, the first thing that you would do is you would ask them who that person was. And so I think, you know, we encourage supervision, we encourage monitoring. I think what's key is that it's done in a trusting way. So the kids don't feel like they're going to be caught out. They don't feel like they're being spied upon. And so part of what underlies that is talking and having that dialogue with your child. Because what the flip side of that, of course, is that if a child feels comfortable talking about their online life, when they do get into trouble, whether that's by accident or whether they've made a bad decision.
Yeah,
you don't give out to them. They're going to come to you with that. And obviously, you know, if they know immediately they're not going to have their phone thrown in the river, or they're going to have all the Wi-Fi switched off in the house, then they're going to be more inclined to do that. And I think, you know, for us as well, you know, we find that almost a third of kids who have been bothered by something, you know, are not necessarily telling anyone about that. And that's something that's really concerning. So
because they're afraid they'll be punished. Yes, I get that. They're afraid they'll be taken off it or restricted in some way if they actually report it. So in other words, you should educate the child on how to use it safely rather than taking it off them.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And also how to react, I think, when you come across things. You know, I was a teacher for many years. I know that, you know, kids will accidentally come across things on online searches. It's how you deal with that and how you react to that and being comfortable to say, look, I've done this. I've got myself in some trouble. Can you help me, rather than hiding it? Because we all know that just goes down a rabbit hole and generally tends to make things worse.
Okay, the big thing, of course, this time of the year is coming up towards Christmas. I hate to mention the C word, but coming up towards Christmas, Santa Claus, of course, is coming. Lots of kids are going to have their lists ready. And, you know, the popular games will be out. Call of Duty, I'm pretty sure we'll have another version out. You know, I don't know, Grand Theft Auto should be due another one soon as well. The big games, the most popular games in the world, the games that are, you know, these games are making billions. And in saying that, they're not safe for young kids, but parents are buying for young kids. How do you avoid that?
Well, I mean, they're not designed for kids, you're right, in the same way that, you know, the internet and social media are not designed for children. So I think, you know, in terms of what parents allow their own children access to, obviously that's a decision that they've got to make. We certainly would encourage that if online games are designed for an over 18 audience, that audiences under 18 aren't playing those games. But I think, again, you know, before you give in to maybe that pressure, before you believe that all the other kids have the same thing in the class, because that may not necessarily be the case either, that you go online, have a look at things like Common Sense Media, have a look at a website called PEGI, peggy.info, and actually find out a little bit more before you purchase those games, not afterwards, because we all know once you've bought something, it's a lot harder to take it away. But if you haven't actually bought it yet, it might be possible to do that. And
okay, so that's a good sign. Okay, Peggy.info. Peggy is, of course, the logo you will always see on the back of all the games. Peggy, P-E-G-I.
Yeah. That's a good guideline to start with. Commonsensemedia.org, another really good site. And that's not just for games. It's also for apps, films, any kind of content, really. Those are a good place to start to give you a rough idea of what you can expect. And then, obviously, if you want to see the game in action, you can see lots of people playing that game, perhaps on YouTube, on something like Twitch. And so you can get an idea of what's really involved. I mean, some developers, some gaming companies regulate themselves. They put their own ratings on there, or they fill in sort of self-assessment questionnaires. So it's not necessarily always exactly the same, and it can vary from platform to platform. But definitely,
well, it is kind of weird, isn't it? There's a kind of psychology behind this, because we wouldn't allow our kids to watch Breaking Bad or see a Quentin Tarantino movie or whatever it happens, because we know there's violence, there's drug dealing, there's murders, there's all sorts of things in a prostitution. But yet we'd allow our child to play a game that has all of those attributes anyway. It's kind of weird. The parents don't think of it the same way.
Absolutely. Actually, we did a campaign earlier in the year called Same Rules Apply. You can find it on our website, cybersafekids.ie/same rules apply. And actually, it was a very simple 1-minute video around that exact theme. It was a young boy who heads off to the cinema on his own. He's clearly 6 or 7. And of course, it's shocking to see when you see a child walking through the city and trying to get into a clearly inappropriate film. I think it was called Murder Spree 5. And, you know, we would never dream of that in the offline world. So I think it's really about breaking down the separation between the offline and the online world and realizing that actually a lot of things that we wouldn't necessarily do in the offline world, we're allowing children to do in the online world, giving them a device, maybe not supervising, heading off to their bedroom to go online without any restrictions. And really, we've got to think of the online and the offline world in the same way. You know, it's all about educating and protecting our children.
All right, well, listen, thank you very much indeed, Philip Arneil, Head of Education at CyberSafe Kids. Thank you for coming on the air. And you can go to the website, by the way, if you want more information, cybersafekids.ie. And that, by the way, he mentioned a couple of sites there, Peggy being one of them, which is a very interesting site, because if you look at the back of all the video games now, you will always see the Peggy warning, which is the PEGI, which is the, you know, the little kind of warning which tells you it's over 15s, over 18s, whatever it is. Bottom line is, if a game says it's over 18s, it's clearly over 18s, because I can guarantee you the game manufacturer, the last thing they want is an over 18s brand on the back. So if the sensor says over 18, it must be genuinely over 18s. They don't just put it there for a bit of crack, you know.
Real people, real opinions, Real Talk Radio, the multi-award winning Niall Boylan Show. Ireland's classic hit.